Amen. Good morning and welcome to the La Porte Church of Christ. It is September 8th, 2024. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. And before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We thank you for the seasons that you give us. Lord, we thank you for being our God and that we can, that we know that you call us your people. Father, we're grateful for that. We're thankful for the moving of the Holy Spirit that we see happening across this land. We thank you that people are continuing to wake up, to know who they are, to know the truth. And we do ask that you just continue to bless us with blessings that come from your throne. We pray that our cup overflows with those blessings. And we pray, Father, that you just continue to do that teeter-totter transfer, that you take away from the enemy and that you bless the saints across this land. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're going to do things a little bit different this morning. And one of the things that I wanted to start off talking about, well, before we get started, I guess we got a couple of songs. First one is the song that we just heard, but we're going to sing it. It's I've Been Redeemed.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost, I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
We're going to heaven.
Through Jesus Christ. Sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
He paid the price on Calvary.
He paid the price on Calvary. With his blood he set us free. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
And that's not all.
There's more besides. I've been to the river and I've been baptized. All my sins are washed away.
That song, we haven't sung that one in a long time. The next one that we're going to have is His Land Will Be Healed. Coming up.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and His land will be healed. Will prevail o'er His land and His hills. False prophets and preachers, they'll run for the hills. Your lies have been uncovered, your deceptions revealed. Oh, and my heart fills with gladness when I hear the sound of your pulpits being cleansed and made into holy ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and His land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill.
justice will prevail o'er his land and his hills. God's truth and justice, his laws will prevail, and the snakes and the tares will be sentenced to hell. New judges will be appointed, Jesus will be king. Our days will be joyous as his praises we sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and his land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's justice will prevail o'er his land and his hill. Sin, so we could repent, be baptized and cleansed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and his land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's justice will prevail o'er his land and his hills. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and his land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's justice will prevail o'er his land and his hills. God's justice will prevail o'er his land and his hills.
Praise the Lord. You know that song, there's a lot of truth in that song. There's a lot of truth in a lot of these songs that we sing here. And, you know, just reading the words on the screen there, you know, it just puts a lot of things into perspective. We talk about the things that are going on, that we see going on, because we need, and our job is to be those watchmen on the wall and to be warning people of the things that are happening in this land. And when we see these things happening, it's to, you know, to warn the remnant so that they can be prepared and be aware. But, you know, like that song says, this land will be healed. And I believe that. And, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of people that have just given up hope on it, but this is his land and we are the people, and he's going to cleanse this land. He's going to purify it. And, you know, right now we see, you know, the judgment that we're facing as a nation. And we see that we've got, you know, enemies that are just pouring in here. And that is the wrath of his indignation that we're reaping. And, it's, you know, it's 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust. We heard it said from this pulpit, I don't know how many times, but it's true. The next song that we're going to have is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joyfulness, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a peace there is, what a blessedness, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how good to walk with his own elect, leaning.
near him and perfect, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have we to dread? What have we to fear? To him, everything is clear, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the
and welcome back. There's a couple songs that we hadn't sung in quite a while. Wanted to get those in this morning and talk to you about a little bit about some of the things that happened this past week. We've got what we call the 10-minute rule around SFA, and the 10-minute rule is you can be going in one direction, and 10-minute rule, you're all of a sudden you're going 180 degrees and the opposite direction. And you know, it's going with the flow. But this week the 10-minute rule went into effect, and Richard came down. Monday was a holiday, and so he was down on Tuesday. We were working on ministry stuff, and I told Richard, well, I said, we're going to South Dakota, North Dakota, Iowa, Minnesota. I wasn't sure exactly where, but we were down in the Three Corners area. And we had a funeral that we went out and attended for a dear family that has been a long part of this ministry. And so Richard's like, he's like, I know you're not French. And I said, no. I said, we as in you and me. And so he's like, well, what time do you want to leave? And I said, well, let's leave at 5 o'clock in the morning. So next morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, we were in the truck headed for Iowa, Minnesota, right there on the border, and went out there, and you know, it was a blessing for us because you know there was so many people out there that we got to meet that join us for church here every Sunday, and through the internet and DVD church and stuff, and people that we've never seen before, people that we've never met before, and you know, some of them we have met, but it's been getting close to 20 years since we've had the chance to be able to fellowship with them and see them and visit with them. And so that was a blessing for us to be able to, you know, meet some of the remnant out there that, you know, we're privileged to be able to minister to. And, you know, it was really good, and it was sad. And, you know, when you, couple of the scriptures that we talked about, it was at the funeral service, was, you know, about how when we lose one in Christ, you know, we don't necessarily lose them. And I've been talking with several people, been talking with a lady that recently lost her husband, and sharing scripture with her and praying with her recently. And there's been a lot of that. There's been a lot of people that have lost loved ones over the last year. And so this morning, I just decided that we're going to do something a little bit different, and I wanted to share some uplifting and hopefully comforting scriptures with you out there. And I'd like to start off with John 1, and I'm going to start in with 1:1 because, well, it's like Zach's been opening his message with this, and, you know, this is how we know God. We know God through his word, and when we get into his word, we know that it's truth. And John 1, starting with verse 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made in him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there's a whole lot to it, and at first I didn't understand why Zach was opening his messages every week with that, but as time went on, it basically came alive to me, and I understood what he was trying to say, and it made a lot more sense. One of the scriptures that I want to go to, if you got your Bibles, you can follow along. If not, that's fine. But it's 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And I just got a list of scriptures that I want to go through because, you know, I think that these are scriptures that, you know, need to be taught, need people need to hear. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherever comfort one another, wherever you are, comfort one another with these words. And those are comforting words for a funeral, but it's things that, you know, that that we know and we've heard and been taught here from this ministry. But there's, you know, talking with people, it's, you know, so many people don't understand this. And, you know, when you're doing a funeral for somebody that's a Christian, that is a baptized believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and walk the walk and talk the talk and, you know, live the life and was a Christian, you know, that's a lot different than doing a funeral service for somebody that has never lived that life or been that person. When we bury one that we've lost in Christ, a baptized believer, they just take a dirt nap, and it's temporary. And I believe that, and I know that there's a lot of people out there that do, and there's a lot of people that don't, just really don't understand it. And, you know, I was talking with somebody the other day, and they were telling me, we had a kind of a group discussion, and it was two women and two men, and we were talking about baptism, and the two men said, well, you know, we're going to get baptized, and the two women were saying, you know, well, I just don't know if it's necessary, and I just don't know if I want to do that, and I just don't know if I want to get wet, and this and that, and then I was talking with, it was one of them's, the women's fiancé. And he's like, well, I'm just not going to chance it. He's like, I don't care about getting wet. I'm going to do it anyway. He's like, if I think there's any chance of it, you know, bringing salvation. And, but he believed it and he wanted to, but I mean, he just didn't think that there was any reason to chance it. And, you know, there's people out there that have been on the fence about it for a long time. And, you know, several years ago, we had people that, you know, listened to the radio, listened to Pastor Peters every night on the radio, and they'd heard the message, and they had planned on getting baptized. And then after they passed away, we found out that, you know, they never did it. And, you know, they'd followed this ministry for 20-some years. And it was sad for us. And it was, you know, all of us took it really hard, and it was something that we really didn't even realize. It's something that, you know, we hadn't stopped and thought about. Anyway, I'm rambling, and I apologize for that. But Ecclesiastes 7, I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, a good name is better than a precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of the mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for the sadness of the countenance of the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. And I want to go to John 14, 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be with where I am. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 4 says, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to rebuild, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry and a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Job 19:23 says, oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, and that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. And a scripture that, and I'm not talking about this rapture or this any of this stuff like that. There's a lot of people that are caught up in this rapture cult. And it's simply, you can't get it from the Bible. I've had a couple people that have been arguing about that, and I have yet to have anybody show me where you can find that in the Bible. Revelation 21, I'd like to start with verse 1. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. And as we move on, I got a couple more quick scriptures that I'd like to read. But, to me, these scriptures are encouraging, and they have a place. And it's stuff that, when you're talking with somebody and you share some of these scriptures, it just can be a real boost to them, and it can uplift them. And, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this is, God. And I believe that these scriptures carry a frequency with them. And when spoken aloud and brought to somebody, that they can have a tremendous healing effect on a broken heart. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. John 11:25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Philippians 1:21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to confront those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God." And I got several more, but I think I'm going to wrap it up. I want to close out with going to Psalms 23. Now I'm going to go to Psalms 46. "God is our hope and our strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be moved and though the hills be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore rage and swell and though the mountains shake and the tempest of the same. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Therefore shall she not be removed. God shall help her, and that right early. Be still, then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." And, I'm going to get these scriptures, just put a list of them and post them up on the Newswire later on today, hopefully. Scriptures that, you can print them and, share them with others. And stuff that, I've been compiling this list for the last week, and it's stuff that jumped out on me. And, sometimes it's, you're driving down the road and you think about a scripture and you just, I jotted it down or put it in my phone and went back. And when I was able to sit down, put the list together. And as I was reading them this morning, I thought that, I'm just going to share these scriptures with it because, the scripture is the truth. And, there's no doctrine involved. There's no opinions involved. And I just wanted to share the pure word of God with you this morning. And I don't know who that was for. Also, before Richard comes up, it was encouraging as if you didn't hear Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers yesterday, which would have been September 7th, 2024. We had a really good program, and after the program hung up, got off the line, was getting ready to walk out of the office and go to the house for a cup of coffee, the phone rang and picked up the phone, and it was a man that I had never spoken with, and he just wanted to call and say, hey, we're out here, we're listening, and really appreciated the program. And he, he said he was at work, but wanted to share with a few minutes that it meant a lot to him and, keep up the good work. He said he was going to, he was praying for us and was going to support us. And it was humbling. And I really appreciated that phone call and got off that phone call and was headed out the door again. And the phone rang and there was somebody else that I had never heard from before. And said basically the same thing. Has said, "Hey, really enjoyed your program. Just wanted to call and say thank you guys for that program. Keep up the good work." So that was really humbling and really appreciated. And came at a good time too. So I wanted to say thanks for that. And with that said, I'm going to step down, and Richard's going to come up and share a few things with you as well.
Spirit of the King of all kings, power and mighty fame. hearts around us. Pray are the hearts that fight against Satan's claw. Godly men are here to meet you. Staunch are the saints that greet you. Kind as the love that shines from Christian eyes. Power in the mighty faith, able to do all things. Now may your proud standard gloriously raise. Lord of our high endeavors, Lord of the shining river, Lord of our hearts forever, Jesus the King. Saints coming from all places, glad are the Christian faces, yearning to see the kingdom be ushered in. Where faithful lives are beaming, love sets the heart aflaming, longing and dreaming for his kingdom today. Powering in the mighty faith, able to do all things. Now may your proud standard gloriously raise. Lord of a high endeavor, Lord of a shining river,
good day for older songs that we haven't heard in a while. Christian the Brave, I sure enjoy that one, like hearing the pastor singing it. And you know, many times as a Christian, we're called to do things that we might not be comfortable with doing. As Jason said, you know, going to a funeral and traveling cross country and doing that, the first couple times you do that, it can be daunting, it can be challenging. But through prayer and the Holy Spirit, he works all things for good. He gives us the strength to do those things. And again, like Jason said, when you have a funeral for a believer, for someone that has lived the life of a Christian, at least is not perfect, but making those choices, the choice to forgo the flesh, the choice to serve God, to read his word, to see what he says, to love him, to love your neighbor. There's not a whole lot to say about that person once they're gone, other than what they will hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And that should be a striving for each and every one of us. But to be able to share with people that come to a funeral to remember someone who has passed is... you know, we have great promises, the promise of eternal life. This flesh and blood that we live in is just that. It's temporal. It's temporary. It is not eternal. But we do have the promise of eternal life. We have that promise of going from a corruptible that we live in today to incorruptible. And that we do our best in these situations to give hope to the living, to those that might be on the fence, to those that might not understand the biblical plan of salvation, to those that might not have the peace that it sure seems like that when the believer passes that they are at peace. The last couple of funerals that we've done, that is how it was reported that the dear sisters passed, was they were at peace. And what a difference. What a difference that is. And that is a characteristic. Jason shared several scriptures with you. I won't go back over those. A couple of them I do want to share. You know, John 11, 25, 26, Jesus was there with Martha, and they're talking about Lazarus, and Jesus has is certainly using this as an opportunity to share. And he says in John 11:25-26, he says, Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says, do you believe this? And so certainly she had heard his teaching. This wasn't the first time she had heard this, that he was the resurrection and the life. She certainly believed that. But he asks her. And sometimes I think that's a reminder for us that we have to ask ourselves that. It's not that we've forgotten our belief or whatever, but just that it's good when we're reminded of that, you know, we are just, the Bible says we're just dust. And I think in one of the Psalms and when we make that acknowledgement that, but we do stand on that firm foundation of Jesus Christ, of the Word, of all of the Word, and all that he has done for us and all that he promises. In Revelation 22:7, another reminder, he says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And, you know, that means blessed is he who does, who listens to, who sees, and who does what this word says. And that is truly a choice that each and every one of us have every day, that we can choose to follow him. We can choose to forgive. We can choose to adhere to love believes all. We can choose to not gossip. We can choose to believe the best. We can choose to turn away from sin and turn away from evil. We can choose to do our best to do righteousness and justice, which is what he desires. I don't think we, you know, many times at funerals, the 23rd Psalm is read. And as we've spoken a little bit over the last couple of years, it is certainly an appropriate scripture for a funeral because it is comforting. But it should by no means be just for funerals. An encouragement that it is. It says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I can remember pastor teaching on this, that why would a rod and a staff bring comfort? And it brings comfort because the rod and the staff, God's rod and staff, they represent God's power and authority. And those should be comforting to us. The salvation that God offers, the eternal life, the knowing that as these bodies age, as we get older and the hair goes from black to white or to gray and I don't know how many miles it was, but the leaving at 5 a.m. and driving all day, that, you know, it was a little easier a few years ago. Working all day was a little easier a few years ago. And these things come and they happen. But we have his promise, his rod and his staff, his power and authority, what they represent. It should be a comfort to us. He goes on in verse 5, says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What a comfort that should be for us today in the current events that we live in. The gangs that we read about just, what, an hour and a half south of here in Denver. And as we talk to brethren out in Minneapolis and how Minneapolis and St. Paul have been taken over by gangs and Tampa and just cities all over. And we see that we are in the presence of our enemies. But what does God promise? I prepare a table for you. Come sit down and have lunch right here, and you won't be harmed. I got you covered. My rod, my staff, he says, are right here, and you are protected right here in the midst of all that we live in. What a blessing that is. He says, you've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Yeah, times are tough. Yeah, gas is twice as much as it was just a few short years ago, grocery, all that. But guess what? God's people don't beg. He works that out. that when we choose to follow him, he says, your cup will overflow. And we see that. He says, surely goodness and loving kindness, mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And again, comforting scriptures at a time of loss, in a funeral, but strengthening and comforting scriptures for our daily walk as well. And Jason read a couple from the Psalms. What was it, 46? And in Psalm 56 also, there I've got a couple scriptures written down that, again, are scriptures of comfort, but of almost a bulwark and a shield and a protection upon us. Psalms 56, 3 and 4 says, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. And, you know, we see from just that scripture that even David was afraid at times, regardless of what it was. And there's times that we're faced with that. But when we are, we put our trust in him. He says, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee, in God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? And even that in itself, we know in the long term, is a type of comfort. But God loves us, and so he wants us to be comforted. But there's another reason here as well. He says, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And sometimes we may think, well, listen, God comforts us. Let him comfort those others. But he uses us as we go through afflictions, as we go through trials, then he prepares us to, guess what, comfort those who are in the same affliction. You know, I really didn't understand this scripture. It didn't have a good life application for me until my dad died. And when my dad died, it was a couple years before Pastor Peters passed away. And I went down to Florida and preached his funeral. And that was the first funeral I had done. And that was hard. It was hard. It was a lot of prayer, a lot of faith-building time that was. And it was really a few years after that that this scripture really came to light, because I was comforted during that time and did my best to help comfort others. But it was really years later in talking with other people that then had lost family members. And then it kind of comes home to roost, and you realize that the comfort, that hindsight's 20/20, right? When we look back and we see that even though we walked through that valley and it was tough, that God was with us, that Jesus walked there with us. He didn't have us go through it alone. And then you see the little, if you know, you know. If you've been through it, it's a whole lot different. And he allows us. That's the other thing I've learned from this is life is tough. He allows us to go through these afflictions, these trials, these troubles, so we can grow closer to him and so that we can be prepared and able to help others do the same thing. I hope that makes sense. It's not just these lofty words that are just out there for somebody else. No, they are right here for me, and they're here for you as well. And then we'll move to communion here right after that. I've got mine up here. Jason, it's in the back if you want to pass it out, I think, for the others here. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And I don't want to read all this, I've got one scripture underlined here. Verse 14, it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe that he died and rose again, and you know, there's many out there that don't, but for those of us that do believe, that know, that understand, that see how, because he died and rose again, we see in Romans that How do we gain that? How do we just believe? No, we believe that he did that. So since we believe that, what do? We repent and we're baptized and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because if we believe that he died and rose again, then we do those things. It's like the electricity. If you believe that when you flip that wall switch, that the power will come on, and you walk into a dark room, you have that belief, right? And that belief drives you to action, to doing what that belief has built into you. You know you've paid your electric bill. You know that you had a good electrician install. You know the light switch is working. And when it's dark, you not only believe, but to the point you know, when I hit that light switch, the light's going to come on. But you have to hit the light switch. If all you do is believe that the electricity's there, that the switch is good, that the power bill's paid, and all you do is believe that if you hit the switch, the light will come on, but you never hit the switch, you never flip that switch from off to on, you'll never have light. And so we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And we believe, as Romans says in chapter 6 of verse 3, where it says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. That's not just a belief. That's a doing. We have been baptized with Christ, baptized into him. We have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Jason mentioned some that believed but didn't do. You know, the days are getting shorter in more ways than one. Sun's coming up a little later in the morning, and it's going down a little quicker in the evening. The daylight is getting shorter. And it really is, just like if you walk in that dark room at night, and pretty soon you'd be able to do that about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's dark, and you're going to want to turn the light on. You can believe that the power's there, that the electricity's there, that the lights work. You can believe all those things, but if you don't do, if you don't flip that switch, you'll still be in the dark. And I think it truly is just like that with his word, with salvation. If we believe that he died and rose again, when you read the rest of 1 Thessalonians 4, the comfort that's there, you know, we believe, we know that to be absent from the body, to die in the body, is to be present with Christ. If you believe, if you have applied that belief. And that's a choice that we have. It really is. Well, again, we hope these scriptures are comforting to you. They've certainly been a comfort to us here. And in sharing them with others, especially in times of sorrow, they've let us know that it's been a comfort to them as well. And so it is here, and it is available. We're going to step into communion. Like I said, we passed it out here. I've got mine up here, and we've prayed over the communion. We have Pastor Peter's book, the little booklet, Communion, and its potential blessings, curses, and need. We've got it reprinted, nice color cover. It also has a recipe in the back for unleavened bread. If you're not able to find unleavened bread and to partake of communion, then it's not very hard. You can make your own. And so we'd be glad to send you that communion book. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through the end of the chapter, verse 34, speaks of the Lord's Supper, of communion. The one thing that actually the two things that I try to concentrate on when I do communion is, one, he says here that we do this in remembrance of him, that when we partake of these symbols of this bread and this fruit of the vine in the cup, that it is, it symbolizes, it represents Jesus, his body and blood that he gave for us. Because we do believe, as we said and read in 1 Thessalonians, that he died and rose again. We do believe that he gave his life for us. And so because we believe that, we choose to follow him and choose to do what his word says. And starting in verse 27, he says here, we read, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, because they represent what he gave for us, it says, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself. We are to judge ourselves. And of course, the word says, as we judge, we will be judged. and that certainly applies. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged.
Wow.
You want to not be judged? Judge yourself. It's that simple. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do that very thing. Let us not partake unworthily, Lord, but worthy. Worthy as you have seen fit to cleanse us, to wash us with your blood, to give us your body and your blood that you went to the cross and died for, that we might have life. Lord, we judge ourselves. We see that we fall short. Lord, we see that we say things we shouldn't say. We think things we shouldn't do. We do things we shouldn't do, Lord. Forgive us. Strengthen us. Let us, Lord, as we are comforted by your word and strengthened by your promise, like we read in Psalms 23, Lord, that you prepare a table for us in the midst of our enemies, that your rod and your staff, your power and authority are around us to protect us. Let us rejoice in that, Lord, and walk in that newness of life that you give us. Forgive us, Lord, when we fall short. Strengthen us in our walk, in our walk for you, Lord. Let all that we do honor you and glorify you and praise you. Let others see Christ in us, Lord, in our actions, in our words, and in our deeds, that you may be glorified, Lord, that it brings nothing to us, but that it glorifies you. We partake of these emblems in obedience to your word. We thank you for them. We pray, O Lord, to abide in you and that you would abide in us in all that we do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, and we partake. Amen. Amen.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the thanksgiving in my heart, I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me